Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. Let me try that again. Good morning, church. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord, both here on site and also online. It is often said that life is a series of choices. According to some studies, an average person would have made up some 35,000 conscious choices every day. Yesterday, on 3rd May 2025, during the 13th general election, some 2.6 million voters made a choice for the candidate or party that would best serve our nation, not just in pursuing peace and prosperity, but also in preserving our deepest values. Some choices in life are small, like what to eat for lunch afterwards, where to go, which clothes to wear. But other choices do have significant life-changing impact. Like, who do we marry? Which career do we pursue? Where do we live? Some choices in life have minor consequences, but other choices shape our destiny. We come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, given by the Lord Jesus. And allow me to quickly summarize, in essence, what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. We've seen in the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 16, the character of the kingdom people. And then secondly, from Matthew 5, verse 17, all the way to the end of chapter 7, it addresses the conduct of kingdom people. Notice, character always comes before our conduct. Because who we are will always determine and shape what we do and what we become. Would you join me in prayer as we listen carefully to God's Word and examine the kingdom choices that Jesus brings to us at the end of this Sermon of the Mount? Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, prepare our hearts to receive Your truth, our minds to understand Your truth, but above all, our will to obey Your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's text, in Matthew chapter 7, from verse 13 to verse 27, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount teaching and brings it to a close with a call for a decisive choice you and I must make. There is no room for indecision or neutrality. None of us can sit on a fence having heard the teachings of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, all the way verse 12. Because Jesus is not content with mere admiration or casual interest in Him or in His kingdom. And here in the closing text and passage of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents to us four sharp contrasts that leads us to three vital, critical kingdom choices we must make this morning. The first choice is living the God life or the good life. The second kingdom choice is bringing two kingdom contrasts together, kingdom contrast number 2 and 3 together. And it's about a kingdom choice between discerning the true or the false teachers. But more importantly, applying to our own lives, becoming a true or a false disciple of Jesus Christ. The last kingdom contrast brings us our third and final kingdom choice today. And it is a choice of building on strong or shaky ground foundation in our lives. These three kingdom choices are deeply personal to us. You cannot make the choice for me. I can't make the choice for you, like what we did yesterday at the general election. But here is a kingdom choice each one of us must make today. And the choice we make will reveal which kingdom we truly belong to. Please turn with me to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, as we look at the first kingdom choice. Let's read God's word together. If we could have it on the screen right in front of me, that'd be helpful. If not, you can see it on your screen. Let's read together with one voice in one accord together. Ready? One, two, three. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus presents to us the first kingdom choice we must make this morning: living the God life or the good life. And it begins with a choice between two gates that leads to two routes. Firstly, the wide gate and the broad route. They are so appealing, so attractive, because it offers everything that you and I might dream for: comfort, ease, the promise of the good life as the world would define it today, pleasure, popularity, self-fulfillment, and the approval of others. Yet Jesus warns that this similarly attractive path will ultimately lead to death and destruction. In stark contrast, Jesus presents the second gate, the narrow gate and the hard way. And this represents the God life, a life of true obedience and discipleship that is often unpopular, challenging, even demanding, because it might mean swimming against the current culture of our times, making hard choices, or even standing up from the crowd, surrendering our will to God's will, and enduring hardship or even rejection. But this God life is the only way that will lead to a genuine, intimate, and personal relationship with God that will give us true purpose and meaning in life. And that is why Jesus says in Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Make every effort. Choose rightly to enter the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, says Jesus, will seek to enter the narrow gate, but will not be able. The choice is clear and urgent. No two ways about it. Either you choose to live the good life or the God life. Jesus began the first contrast with a command and imperative Greek word, which says, enter the narrow gate. It is a wake-up call, even if you slept very late last night for the election results. But he says, wake up. Choose for you this day. Decide. It calls for immediate, decisive action. Either you choose to follow the comfort and approval of the crowd, or are you embracing the challenge of following no one else but Jesus Christ, who is worth it all? Will you pursue the fleeting pleasures of the broad route, or will you enter the narrow gate and embrace the God life that leads to everlasting joy and peace in our life? Many will choose the broad route because it requires no change in our life. It requires no repentance on our part. It requires no surrender, no submission to God. That's why many will choose this broad gate, the wide gate that leads to the broad way. But Jesus says only the narrow route will lead to eternal life with Him. After I came back from the church board retreat yesterday, I went off to vote together with my family. And then I got a call from a friend who had been journeying with his father for many years. His father is an educated man, free thinker. He believes every religion leads to God. And for many years, the family has been praying for him. But something happened in his family life last year, and he begins to slowly open his heart to God. Being a retired man at the age of 85, he started reading the Bible. On one hand was the English Bible, on the other hand was the Chinese Bible. And he was a Chinese educated, learned teacher. And God began to speak to his heart. And for many years, he refused to enter this narrow gate. He doesn't object his son or his family or his grandchildren to be Christians, but he will watch from afar. And he says, I respect you, please respect my choice. But something happened over the past months as he begins to read the Word of God. Every day he'll read chapters and chapters in the Scriptures. He may put some of us to shame. He reads probably the Bible more than some of us. All because he's in pursuit of God in his life. And this week, his son called me up and says, Pastor, I think my dad is ready. And he wants you to come and share the gospel one more time with him. So we dropped everything in the afternoon after voting and went to his house. There was Mr. Lim with his wife and his son. And then we were talking, and then eventually we directed our conversation to what is most important, more important than voting and election. It is who would you choose to follow? Because it will shape your eternal destiny. And so in my simple broken Mandarin, I shared the gospel with Mr. Lim once again. And because I'm preaching on this text, I talk about the wide gate and the narrow gate. And says, Uncle, today you have to choose either the wide gate or the narrow gate. You waited so long, for more than 35 years. Your children, your grandchildren have been talking about Jesus to you, but you said no. But today, it's the day for you. And after sharing the gospel with him, Mr. Lim said, yes, Tony, I think I'm finally ready. And so we all close our eyes, I lay my hands on him and led him to Jesus Christ for the first time in his life at the age of 85. The loved ones gathered around the table didn't clap like the way you clap. But they all cried. But there were tears of joy, including myself and my wife, May, because we knew this uncle for more than 35 years. But to see him make this important choice in life, and we say, this will be a day you always remember because you voted not for the right MP or the right government. You voted to follow the right master. That's the first kingdom choice you and I are confronted with. In this first kingdom contrast that Jesus presents to us. Either you live the God life, it may be hard and demanding, but it will lead you to a true sense of purpose and meaning and fulfillment in life. No regrets, no retreat. Stick on the narrow road as you enter this narrow gate. Don't turn back and switch to the wide gate, even though the broad road is appealing. But the second kingdom choice we must make, it's found in the second and the third kingdom contrast that Jesus presents. And this is found in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 23. So would you read with me as you are seated, verse 15 to 23. Ready? Verse 15. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Jesus brings a very stern warning to all of us. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He uses a Greek imperative command, beware. In the same word, he used the word enter. Wake up, be alert, be discerning, because we live in the last days of the end times where there are true and false prophets, there are true and false teachers. On the outside, they appear very righteous, harmless, even godly and spiritual. And Jesus used the word ravenous, but on the inside, there are ravenous wolves. In the Greek, it actually means they are actually greedy. And they prowl on you like a predator would do. Their outward appearance would often hide their true self and nature. And you know there is no genuine and true change and transformation and devotion to God within. And their words and actions only conceal a dangerous spiritual reality. But more than just a call for us to be alert, to examine a true and false teacher, Jesus brings the third contrast for us. More than just about others, it's about first examining ourselves. And here comes the most sobering part of the passage today. It's found in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Christ alone, cornerstone. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So while it's important for us to examine, evaluate others, whether they are true or false teachers, Jesus brings even a more critical call for us to first examine ourselves. Are we true or false disciples? Are we genuine disciples of Jesus Christ? Or is our faith merely outward, consisting of rhetorics or even appearances that make us very holy and devoted? Or is it marked by true inward change of our attitudes, of our conduct and behavior? Because authentic discipleship is often demonstrated by a changed life, a heart that is broken by God and yielding in sincere obedience to God's will. And not just a sense of display of religious outward appearance. More than just coming for Sunday service, joining a small group, worshiping and praying, but whether it is really happening within in our hearts. So Jesus says in Matthew 7:16, you will recognize them by their what? Appearance? No, you will recognize them by their fruits. What kind of person is he or she? Not just in church on Sunday, not just on Friday when we gather in our small group, but what about this person in the workplace? What about this person at home? Is he the same or she the same person? Paul gives this stern warning in 2 Corinthians verse 11 and 13. He says, "For such men are false prophets. They are deceitful workmen. They only disguise or mask themselves as apostles of Christ." We have them all over the world. And we need to exercise discernment between true and false teacher. But more important than evaluating others, we need to evaluate ourselves. Are we that true disciple of Christ that bears spiritual fruit for Christ? 1 John 4 verse 1, the Apostle John invites us as a church and he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are really, really from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are false churches, false teachers, false prophets around. And Jesus warns us even of the danger of doing many spiritual and even powerful ministries, but yet they don't have a personal, intimate, genuine relationship with God where we are personally known by Him. This is best illustrated in the story of the apple orchard. Every fall, many people in the county and many tourists around the world would go to pick apples to enjoy the harvest. One year, there was a new apple orchard that opened up on the edge of town. Oh, the trees look lush and healthy from a distance. And the owner advertised the sweetest apple in the county. And curious, many people and tourists were flocked to this new apple orchard. But when they begin to bite into the apples, they were shocked. The apples look perfect on the outside, but inside they are rotten. They are brown, they are mushy, but full of worms. This makes many of them sick after eating the apple. It was found that the orchard owner had used chemicals to make the trees look good and healthy on the outside, neglecting the roots and the soil in the orchard. And over time, the truth surfaced. The apple orchard was nothing but a fraud. It produced bad fruit, no matter how beautiful it looked from the outside. The people in that town and county learned a hard lesson. You can't judge an apple orchard by its appearance. The real test is the fruit it produces. In the same way, Jesus warns us that not everyone who looks or sounds spiritual is truly following Jesus Christ. Some of us may have friends in other parts of the world, and there are many such cultic churches, false prophets, twisting the truth of God's word to the way they want. And just as the people in that county learn to look past the superficial surface, such as mere rhetorics, they learn now to examine the fruit in the orchard. Likewise, we must examine the fruit of our own lives and begin to look for evidence of a changed heart, a life that is humble, kind, pure, that truly reflects the glory and the likeness of Christ. Words and appearances can deceive us, but the fruit it produces never, never lies. And this is how we decide and discern and evaluate between a true and a false teacher. This is how we evaluate ourselves. Are we a true and a false disciple of Christ? By evaluating the fruit, the changes, the transformation in our own lives. Three critical kingdom choices Jesus presents to us. Living the God life or the good life. Between a true or a false prophet and becoming either a true or false disciple of Christ. The fourth and final contrast brings to us the third kingdom choice. It is building on strong or shaky ground. Either we build our life on strong or shaky foundation. Let's turn our attention to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, and let's read this very familiar passage together. 1, 2, 3. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus concludes his Sermon on the Mount teaching with this final contrast of two builders. Both men were building similar house, given the same architecture, with similar building resources. But there was one crucial difference between these two builders. It was their foundation. The wise builder hears the words of God, and he obeys Jesus' words, building on strong and solid ground, the rock foundation. The foolish builder, on the other hand, hears God's word, but does not obey God's word. And therefore, building on shaky ground, the sand. One day when the inevitable storm comes and when the wind blew, only the house on the rock stood firm. But the house on the sand had a great fall. Remember, both houses and both builders had similar opportunities, similar building materials. It's not a case where one builder has strong, good building materials like stone and cement, the other had straws. No, both builders had the same opportunities and building materials. And they were building similar houses, same height, same size. The difference was the foundation of the house. Strong or shaky ground. And here are two very important applications for our lives as we consider this last kingdom choice. The first application is, do we obey God's word? Are we obeying God's word, or are we just simply hearing God's word? And the first application, don't just hear God's word, obey God's word in our life. Wisdom in our life is only cultivated, not just by hearing God's word, but by obeying, by applying, by practicing His word. Knowledge of God's word alone will not change and transform our life. It is the application, it is the obedience to God's word that will help us build solid, strong foundation in our lives. Joshua 1 verse 8 tells us this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to what? To know." Be careful to watch. No, be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Jesus, in His last words to us in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28 says, Jesus did not say, teaching them all things whatsoever I commanded you. No. But rather, our Lord Jesus, before He said goodbye to us, says this, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you. True discipleship moves from acquiring the truth to applying the truth. It moves from knowing God's word to obeying God's word. The second application for us is to build to last and not just for looks. If the first application is obey God's word and not just hear it, the second application for this contrast is for you and I to keep building our faith, our life in Christ to last and not just to simply look good. From the outside, both houses look the same. The true foundation of their houses is hidden and only revealed when the storms came. Storms that we experience in life do not build our foundation. They simply reveal the foundation of which our life is built upon. And Jesus calls us to focus on building a strong, unseen foundation in Christ so that it is on strong ground and not shaky ground. Because the storms in life will come. Trials, temptations, disappointments. And if our life is built on hearing, obeying, and following Christ, we are building our lives on a foundation that will withstand any storms, any crisis, any test, even any tariffs. If you only listen, but we don't put God's word into practice, our life is as vulnerable as a house that is built on shaky sand. All of us do have a Bible. Today, many of our Bibles are read digitally. If you have a Bible like this, don't just own a Bible in your life. Don't just have a Bible in your house or in your room. Open the Bible. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Memorize God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. But most importantly, obey and do and practice and apply God's Word into our life. When that happens, our life is changed. Our perspective is changed. Our worldview is changed. Our values are changed. Our conduct begins to change. And what we do in secret will continue to shape and deepen our true foundation of life. My friends, don't settle on shaky ground. When Jesus invites all of us today to build our lives on strong and solid ground and foundation, on the rock of Christ and upon His teaching. The book of James is a very practical book for Christian living. And one of the things James says in James 1 verse 22 is this. Many of us know the Word of God, and he says this, but be doers of the Word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Is your life built on strong, solid ground or shaky ground? Is it just built on religious activities and good intentions? Or is our life and our faith in Christ built on a strong and solid ground, on the rock of Christ and obedience to Him? Whatever the Lord says to us in the light of His word, we will obey, practice it slowly but surely. Because only those who trust and obey Jesus will stand firm and secure in life. In conclusion, Jesus brings the entire Sermon on the Mount teaching to a close with these four contrasts. And they are not just illustrations for us. They are eternal crossroads that you and I must choose and decide. Jesus is not offering us pure and mere advice, but He's giving to us a loving but urgent warning today. The storm is coming. The truth will be revealed. The foundation will be tested by the storms of life. And the time to choose is now. Either we're living the God life or the good life. Either we're following the true of the false teachers. Either we're becoming the true disciple of Christ, or we're becoming a fake and a false disciple of Christ. Either we're building a strong and solid foundation and ground in our life, or we're building our lives on shaky ground. The choice is for you and I to make. The same choice, we took it seriously yesterday in our general election, must be the same seriousness and urgency that you and I will answer this call to make this kingdom choices today. And the choice is clear. It's to follow Christ or to follow the crowd. The invitation is for us to follow Christ above the crowd, because Christ is the real deal. He is the one who is worth it all. He is King. He does not need your vote and my vote. He is already King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. As we bring our service to a close, the Lord invites us to make the most important life choice in our entire life. And this kingdom choice we make will be a bold commitment to either follow Christ or to follow the crowd. Either the broad gate, the wide gate, or the narrow gate. Either the true teacher or the false teacher. Either to be the true disciple or to be the false disciple. Either to build our lives on a strong and solid foundation and ground, or to build our lives on shaky ground and foundation. We cannot stand and leave this place indecisive, or to sit on the fence and remain neutral. The choice must be made today. This choice to choose Christ will not be easy. But this choice to follow Christ is only made possible not because of our strength, but because of His grace and His mercy upon us. And today Jesus invites us into this spiritual family of forgiven sinners whose lives are made new by the power and the love of Jesus Christ. No matter your past, no matter your present now, God's grace and His love is greater than our past and our present. But today, if you choose and you're ready to leave behind all the shame, all your fears, and even all your sin, and choose to follow Jesus wholeheartedly today, and Jesus says, "You belong to me. Welcome to the kingdom of God." And the people in God's kingdom are a people of who are unashamed, forgiven, and forever changed by the power and the grace of God in our lives. And today you say yes. As you hear the words of the living God, you say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for this kingdom choices that you present to me that I must make." And the choice you make today will direct and shape your eternal destiny ahead of you. Today you say, "I'm clear. I will make the choice. The die will be cast. I will step over the line. I will make the decision. I am a disciple of Christ. I will look up. I will let up. I will slow down. I will back away or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. But more important, my future in God is secure." Today you say, "Yes, Lord, I will make the choice today." If you had decided and made that choice, and the choice is, "I will follow Christ. I will follow Him, even though it is a hard way, even though it's a narrow gate, Today I present to you that choice. And you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will make that choice for Christ. As the eyes are closed and heads bowed, no one looking around. If you are ready to make this choice, I invite you where you are to stand up for Jesus and choose Christ where you are. If you're ready, let's do that together. No one looking around, you choose Christ and says, today I choose the God life, but not the good life. You're ready, you stand. 1, 2, 3, you stand. Because this choice you made today will shape how you live your life in the future. Whether you're upstairs in the gallery or here, you stand for Jesus in the same way you walk into the polling station to choose. Today you stand in the presence of God and you decide and choose your eternal destiny. You're ready, you stand up for Jesus. And Jesus says, if you're not ashamed of me, I will not be ashamed of you. But today, if you are ashamed of making the choice for me, when I see you, I will be ashamed of you. No one looking around, it's just between you and God. It's a choice you have to make. So today, make that choice. Stand up for Jesus. Choose Christ above the crowd. Choose the God life above the good life. Choose the true teacher above the false teacher. Be that true disciple above the false disciple. Build your life on strong and solid ground and not build your life on shaky ground. Today, make that choice. If you're ready for the choice, you stand up for Jesus now. Don't stand because others are standing. Because the Bible says many will not choose Christ. Many will walk the broad way. Only few will enter. Will you be that few today who will stand up for Jesus and says, even though no one follow, still I will choose to follow. And as we stand before God, as we choose Christ, we respond in this song, this hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Christ's name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.